well over 130 million people tonight need some form of life-saving or protection assistance. And so the World Humanitarian Summit, which we had in Istanbul, gave a platform for everybody to gather together who had an interest in this as global citizens to seek to relieve the needs of the most vulnerable people in the world today. Most of it generated out of conflict and often protracted crisis. And so what we will be doing on World Humanitarian Day, a day for us all to be active, to be proactive, but also to reflect on our opportunity as global citizens to make a real contribution to meeting the needs of our fellow human beings on the planet who are the most vulnerable. And that's why we will be working with a theme called One Humanity. This is very much part of the World Humanitarian Summit, which showed that we are one humanity. We simply need the chance to be able to demonstrate that and to deliver on those needs of suffering.
You visited some of the most affected areas and countries by crisis, by conflict. What did you hear from the people in need and from the humanitarian also who are working on the ground in such a difficult environment?
Well, on my way to the summit in Istanbul, I went via Niger and northeastern Nigeria, where the Lake Chad Basin today has about 9 million people who are at risk and in need, 7 million of those in northeastern Nigeria, as the terrible fighting from Boko Haram has ravaged the local populations and caused incredible humanitarian crisis in already a region deeply stretched and endemically and chronically challenged by all sorts of natural and food and population crises. And then after Istanbul, I went to the border with Syria so I could see how aid was being delivered across the border. I've just last week come back from South Sudan, where we have another conflict-generated big humanitarian crisis. So all these are where we can together make sure that we are really putting together immediate programs. I think the main message I would want to get out is that the United Nations and its humanitarian partners, we're ready. We have the capacity, we have the skills, we have the people to be able to deliver for people who have real life-saving and protection needs tonight. But to do that, not only do we need the resources, yes, we need to generate more. The world is already very generous through the donor agencies and others in making funds available. But we're nowhere near funded enough to be able to meet all the needs which have been well identified and assessed. And we need to work very well together to make sure that we really use those resources efficiently. But beyond that, what we do need to do is to make sure we have safe, unimpeded access. This is not conditional upon politics. This is absolutely what we are demanding as of right. The humanitarians, as a matter of international law, must have safe, unimpeded access to wherever the need arises, however it arises, so we can deliver on those needs. That's our only test, impartially, to meet the needs.
In your formal briefings and press statements, you always highlight the plight of the people in need in the crisis situation and the conflict situation. But I want to ask you also about how does it like to be a humanitarian serving on the ground right now in today's world?
Well, it is both dangerous, and we have to salute the intense bravery and courage of the humanitarian workers, whether they're in the UN or part of the humanitarian partners in the broader system that is dealing with assessing, with making sure that we have access, in negotiating, in making sure that we have the programs, whether we can deliver trucks or whether we can do it through mobile telephones and put a cash reader on that so that people can get their needs met for water, for food, for shelter, for medicines, and making sure they can get education for their children in a crisis, and trying to help them have the ability not to be so frightened that they're forced to flee, and that leads to so many people on the move, whether that is then across a border and they become a refugee, or within borders in Syria, for instance, where we have so many millions of people who are what are called internally displaced people because they have had to flee from their homes. Nobody chooses to run. You only go because you flee out of fear or need. And so that's where we need to place our emphasis. And for aid workers on the ground, our challenge is to not only respect their courage and their bravery, but also to recognize that we have a duty to make sure that they are safe in delivering their selfless work. These are not suicide missions, these are courageous missions. And we need to make sure that those who are causing the fighting, those who are causing the blockages, the mirror is held up to them and they are challenged, because it is a matter of right that we meet the human needs of people.